the complete works of William Shakespeare, as told by... Tonight's episode, Coriolanus. This is one of the first plays and first works I ever read in college. As a freshman, we read Coriolanus in my honors English class, and forever put me down on a path to diminishing returns. this is the play that put me on a path of non-4.0-ness. So wherever you are, Professor Tom Stumpf, thanks for that. Coriolanus, written about 1608, tells the story of a Roman general, Caius Marcus, very prideful, with good reason, though, tough guy. It's a play about pride and power, politics, and war, and peace, and how the people are easily fickle and swayed by politicians, and the politicians may not always be looking out in the people's best interest. They may be looking out in their own best interests to protect their own power. And at times, the people are easily led. Caius Marcius begins the play as he pretty much lectures the people on the nature of the body politic in a extended metaphor in which the nobility are the stomach, which processes everything and then distributes everything to the people who are somewhat in revolt. And he says, you know, you with the lowest of things are the ones who are most likely to revolt because you have less. He does this sort of prideful speech, and the people are not too sold on his care for them, because Marcius is very clear that Caius Marcius is very clear that he doesn't really like the people, but he's honest with them. He tells them straight up he doesn't like them. He's one tough guy, though, because they go off to war. He fights in Corioli, where his men have somewhat deserted, and he's been locked up inside the city. And Marcius proceeds to kick some serious Volscian butt, and he single-handedly sort of beats the crap out of this town, and emerges victorious, which only makes him more prideful. He returns to Rome triumphant. But at the end of the battle, he's a noble man, because he's trying to save one of the men who was kind to him in the past. But he forgets his name and then just asks for more wine, because while he has perhaps some noble and good intentions, he's a busy guy, this Marcius fellow. He returns to Rome, and in honor of his deeds, they name him Coriolanus, in honor of the city that he just sacked. Meanwhile... His nemesis, Coriolanus' nemesis, Aufidius, who is the leader of the Volscians, swears revenge at some point, but that'll come back later. As part of Coriolanus' plan to become consul, he's supposed to talk to the common people and get their approval, and he refuses to show his wounds, and he thinks this is stupid, that if he's going to be consul, just make him consul because he deserves it. He's fought for Rome, he's bled for Rome, he's done all these great things for Rome. He's not going to appease these commoners, these people, so he's somewhat insulting to them, and yet they take it and they agree that they should name him consul. Meanwhile, two of the tribunes, Brutus and Cinesus, I believe, talk to the people and say, "Well, what do you mean he insulted you? What are you doing? You shouldn't be making him consul." No. We gotta stop this. We gotta quickly stop this. So they run quickly and incite the people. And pretty much Coriolanus' pride and his soldier's life and his lack of politics and his disdain for the people comes back to haunt him, because he you know, pretty much lays it on the line. He says, "Look, I don't like the people. Of course I don't like the people." And the tribunes and the people are saying, "Well, you can't represent us then. How is this possible?" And it escalates into a violent riot. And Coriolanus is happy for that. He's okay with that. He'll take them all on. That's fine. Some cooler heads prevail, and some leaders say, "Well, you know, Coriolanus, go off. Hang on. There's just everybody calm down." And his Coriolanus' old friend, Menenius, I think. I'm blanking on the name, though. You know, says, "Well, let me talk to him, and let's see if we can't smooth this out." He goes to do that, and Brutus and Cinesus are in arms, and are saying that he's a traitor, what Coriolanus has just said in insult of the people and his attempts, that if he were his counsel, he would strip the Republic and it would ruin it, and he's a traitor to Rome, and he should be killed, is what they're saying, and that's what the riots are somewhat about. And it's eventually agreed when he comes back that they're just going to banish him, which is pretty doesn't really sit well with him, despite the fact that Menenius and his wife and mother keep saying, deal with things mildly. And there's a great end to that scene where Coriolanus says something along the lines that the word is mildly. Pray you let us go. Let them accuse me by invention. I will answer in mine honor. And Menenius says, aye, but mildly. Coriolanus says, well, mildly be it then. Mildly. And he goes and tees off. He's got a prideful temper, a big temper, and rips into the people, and he's banished. And so his plan then is to go find his nemesis, Aufidius, who he had just defeated, and agrees that because he was banished that he will seek an alliance with his old adversary. But if Aufidius cannot see the alliance and will not help him march on Rome, Coriolanus says to him, you should slit my throat because I can't do this. I've been banished by my people. And Aufidius takes him in, and the Volscians are very happy because Coriolanus is one tough dude. And he takes half of Aufidius's men and rides through the countryside, riding towards Rome. To Aufidius's detriment, actually, because his soldiers sort of would rather fight with Coriolanus because Coriolanus has this name and this respect and is viewed as sort of this god amongst men as a result of everything that he's doing. The people are very fickle, and in Rome, once they find out that Coriolanus is coming, the fear takes over, and they realize just how bad a shape they're in, and so Brutus and Cinesis, who were feeling pretty high, were saying, well, you know, we totally spun the people, and we took care of this, are suddenly freaked out because now the people are terrified and are doing this, and they can't believe it. They thought everything was good. They were in good hands because they had gotten rid of this guy, and now he's coming back, and it's a nightmare. So they try and have people go and speak to him, and it's not going very well. His old friend Cominius is turned away. Brutus and Cinesis talk to Menenius and want him to go talk to him, and Menenius says, well, you know, I will talk to him after he's at dinner, because people are much more amenable after dinner, which I think parallels back to Caius Marcius's original speech to the people about the body politic and the Senate being the stomach and then going out, in the sense that when the people are well fed and there's bread and circuses, that sort of thing, where the economy is strong, people are a lot less likely to revolt and balk at things. Anyway, Menenius goes and pretty much Coriolanus kicks him out, says, I don't want to talk to you. No, absolutely not. And the Romans then send Coriolanus' wife and mother to go and his son to go and appeal to him. And he's at first hesitant, and then the mother sort of lays into him and does this big speech. And Coriolanus agrees and relents, and he says, you know, I'm not a man. You've broken me. You've done what soldiers couldn't do, swords couldn't do, what weapons couldn't do, you have done. You deserve praise for this. Well, yes, we'll broker a peace. And he says to Aufidius, wouldn't you break if this had happened? And Aufidius says something along the lines of, well, yeah, I kind of weep, or it breaks me a little bit. But secretly, he's, you know, use this to rise back in the eyes of his people. So they broker a deal with Rome, and Coriolanus goes back with Aufidius to the hometown, Antium, where Aufidius has now gotten conspirators to call for Coriolanus' death because he's betrayed now the Volscians and has cut a deal with Rome somewhat illegally, that he's used now the blood and sweat and pain of the Volscians and sold them out effectively to his wife and mother and child. So Aufidius does this thing, and Coriolanus is ready to fight because he, you know, he's a proud, boastful, honorable man, and says, well, you know, I was able to kill you all once when I was took that town in Corioli, and that incites the people, and they stab him and kill him, and everybody says, what are you doing? This is crazy. And Aufidius says, well, you know, I've calmed down now. I mean, yes, he deserves some praise, but believe me, he was going to be a far greater adversary to this town than if we hadn't killed him, so it's all for the best, so we'll bear him off and give him honors, and et cetera. So that's how the play ends. As I said, it's about power, it's about war and peace, and how fickle the people are, and how quickly you can turn them. It took me a while to get into it again, but I don't know. I think maybe I'm bearing it some ill will from the old college days, as it were. There's some great lines, some great quotes, but as always, I mean, it's Shakespeare. Let me skip ahead to Brutus has a line that's, let's the capital and carry with us ears and eyes for the time, but hearts for the event, because Brutus is a very smart guy who's gonna do all that. There's a great line about custom, It's by Coriolanus, who says, and it's when he has to apparently appease the common people and get their vote to become the council. Coriolanus speaks of custom and says, you know, I have to beg of Hob and Dick, or Tom and Dick, or Hob and Dick, I guess, in Shakespearean times. They're needless vouchers. Custom calls me to it, that what custom wills and all things should we do it. It's just a nice sort of commentary from a prideful man of, well, because it's custom, I have to do it, but I've already killed everybody. Why do I need to do this? There's a great slag at somebody of, hear you, this Triton of the Minnows, which I think is a great one. I already discussed them mildly. There's a scene in Act 4 where servants discuss how war is better than peace. There's a great Aufidius line that says, so our virtues lie in the interpretation of the time, which I think is a really, really important concept in this particular play. You know what? That's it. Complete Works of William Shakespeare, as told by me, Kevin Hanna. Coriolanus, written about 1608.